Philippians chapter 4, read verses 10 and 11. We left off after verse 9. He says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful. That is full of care for me, he's saying. And remember, he's in prison. He said, but you lacked the opportunity. But not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I wish someone else were teaching this, because I haven't learned this yet. Would someone like to step up here? Someone who's learned in whatever state, whatever situation, whatever circumstance, whatever the Lord sends your way, to be content. Paul was sitting in prison. And you know what all he had been through up to that time? Read it for yourselves, all that he went through. More than any of us. And yet he said, I'm content. I'm content. I haven't learned that yet. I haven't learned. We must learn. We will learn. All of God's people will learn. He said his children will all be taught of God. And he teaches us in a way that we wouldn't do it that way. I'm going to quote a poem to you in a moment. But I need to learn contentment. You do too. Ironically, this passage came up after my wife and I just purchased something new. Are you like me? Surely you're like me. When you're getting ready to get your mind on something you're going to buy, and you can't hardly get it off your mind. I mean, it can be anything. It can be a new car, a new house. It can be a new pair of socks. And you're consumed with it until you find it. Right? Anybody? I'm guilty. And then when you find it, after you've had it just a few minutes, what does it turn out to be? Well, why was I so taken with that? You'd lay out a pair of socks. I was looking for the right pair of socks to match these pants I have on. Well, I looked and looked and looked, and, you know, TJ Maxx, Marshall, you know, name it. I looked and looked, couldn't find them, getting upset. Finally found them, Dan. Found them. That's Steinmark. Brought them home. Didn't match. I know it's foolish, but that's how foolish we are, isn't it? We get the slightest little thing on our mind, and we're not content till we get it. Paul, look at verse 12. Paul said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. I don't even know if I know how to abound. How about you? When I'm abounding with things, I forget the Lord. When I'm abased, don't have whatever, going through troubles, I'm full of bitterness. Anybody? Fretful, complaining. I have a lot to learn. So I need this. If you don't need it, I do. But you're not in your head. And I believe you are. You do need it. Listen to this proverb. This is so good. Brother Bruce Crabtree wrote an excellent article on this verse. Proverbs 30, verse 8. This is the wise man. He says, remove from me vanity and lies. What's that? Vanity of vanities. All things are vanity. The deceitfulness of riches. It lies. It lies to you. Neither give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Necessary. All just what I need. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who's the Lord? You forget the Lord. That's what the children of Israel did. And Moses warned them, you're going to build houses and you're going to forget me. And I'm going to have to send things, troubles, to remind you. And don't let me be poor, though I'll steal and take the name of my God in vain. Guilty. All right, go back to verse 9. Paul said this. He said, the things you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. You've seen these things in me. He just said, and you've heard these things. He just said, I've learned whatsoever state I am, be content. I'm afraid that we emulate or take the example of those that are bad examples. We follow their example. We see people taking liberties. We see people doing things and say, well, he did it. He's a believer. And what? That's not the one to follow. We follow a man like this. All right, verse 10. We didn't deal with this. He said, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. You were very careful. You're full of care for me, but you lacked opportunity. Go back to Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. He's writing to the church at Philippi. I love this story of how the church at Philippi started. Most of you know it. Paul was there. And actually, the Lord appeared to him in a vision in the night. The Lord does not do that anymore. He did it to his prophets and apostles. But he appeared, and a man of Macedonia said, come over and help us. Well, he went. And remember, he wanted to go into Bithynia, into Asia. He wanted to preach there, and the Lord didn't allow him to, and sent this vision. Go to Philippi. Well, there was a woman named Lydia from Asia, Bithynia. She wasn't there. She wasn't home. She was in Philippi. Her name's Lydia. That's the way the Lord does it. They came down to Philippi, verse 13. On the Sabbath, we went out of the city, Paul, Silas, Timothy, by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made. Some seekers. We sat down and spoke with the women there. And verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, a businesswoman, out of town, in this place, on business. She worshiped God. She heard the gospel, whose heart the Lord opened. She attended unto the things were spoken by Paul, of Paul, that is Christ crucified. And she was baptized. That's what everybody really here does. They confess. And her household. Who was that? She have sons, she have daughters. Well, whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever calleth, seeks the Lord, he'll find him. And if he found him, confess him. And they did. And here's what she said. If you judge me faithful to the Lord, come into my house, abide there. She constrained us. She had Paul in her house. And from then on, every time Paul came in that town or anywhere near, Lydia said, I got a place for you. Please come stay with me. And he did. Well, there's another woman, a soothsayer of sorts, and I believe the Lord saved her. Down in verse 25, they were put in prison, remember? This jailer, verse 24, thrust them in. Like everybody else, he didn't like his preacher getting what he deserved. And threw Paul and Silas into jail, thrust them in there, and put these iron chains on his legs and on his arms. There you go, preacher. Now what do you think about that? The jailer. And he walked out. Does that man deserve a chance to be saved? No. He deserves wrath, the judgment of God, but God. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises unto God. Verse 25, the prisoners heard them. Suddenly a great earthquake. The foundations of the prison were shaken. The doors flew open. Everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, the jailer, were waking and having his sleep. Seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword. Because everyone that didn't keep their charge was killed. And he would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had fled. Paul, knowing this, cried out, "Do thyself no harm, we're all here." No hurry to get out. We're in no hurry. We've had a pretty good time while we're here. And the jailer called for a light and sprang in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, the gospel, to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Oh, he loves this man now. Oh, he's not rough on him now. He's tender. In a moment, he's been changed. Born again. And he was baptized. Remember? And all his house. So this is the church at Philippi. That's how it began. Strange beginnings, isn't it? That's not how we see churches started, is it? Or is it? Or is it? And down in verse, I want to read it all, but down in verse 39, they brought them out of town, the rulers, and desired them to depart out of this city. Get out of here. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. There she is again. And when they saw the brethren, they comforted them. Who comforted who? Paul and Silas. They'd just been beaten. They were had stripes all over. Bruises, wounds, bruises. And they're comforting Lydia and the jailer. And all that. It's okay. God did this. "I've learned," he said, "in whatever state, to be content, because God's the one that does it. And if you'll just wait, see, the trial of our faith works with patience." You're going to have to wait and see why. And patience works with experience. You're going to experience the grace of God. You have to experience it. You can know it here, but you don't really know it here and believe until you experience it. And experience hope. Hope means whatever state you're in, no matter how bad it may appear, is not hopeless. Not hopeless. You're saved by hope. Going through these things, we're saved by hope. So Philippi, that's how it started. Small group of people at first. Very small. You saw that. Very small. They met together. Paul preached to them. 10, 12, maybe. And they sent him away. He departed. They sent him away with gifts. What did they have to give? Well, I don't imagine a jailer made much money. That soothsayer lost all her living. Lydia, maybe, a woman of means. But they sent Paul away and Silas with gifts. Food, clothing, necessary things, as they should. They should have done that, shouldn't they? Oh, my. What did the Lord impart to them through these men? Oh, my. And they were so grateful, and they proved the sincerity of their love by bestowing upon Paul and Silas, these men that God sent their way in a most unusual way, sent them their way, and they just couldn't give them enough. They did what they could. That may be my next message for you to hear, to recommend in the bulletin. Did you see it? I'm going to do that every week now, and I want you to hear it. This week's is Let's Talk About Dying. Some of you have. Is that a good message? Does everybody need to hear that? We're all dying. Let's talk about it. Well, the next message may be from Brother Mike Walker. He preached a message in Newcastle on she did what she could. She did what she could. The woman with the alabaster box. Never heard better. So they did what they could. And they were unable to do too much, very much. But now, much later, the church has grown. The church is growing. And they sent more things to Paul. Remember, we looked at this through Epaphroditus. And so they were so thankful to God for His grace. They were thankful to God for these men. And Paul was thankful to God for the grace of God in them and the grace of God they showed to him. And that's what he's saying. I rejoiced in the Lord, how your care for me is flourishing. And I do too. Paul said down in verse 11, I don't speak in respect of want. Verse 17, I'm not saying this because I want you to give me some more. He's saying, I have enough. He said, but in this we need to abound in whatever needs we see. Fruit, that's fruit. The fruit of liberality and generosity and love and so forth. And Paul said, I'm not saying this that you might give me more, but we can all give more, can't we? And Paul said, I don't need it. And I don't either. And I'm not preaching this to get a raise. I don't need a raise. Don't need a raise. No, no. Your care for me after 30 years astounds me. And I thank you. So he said, I'm not bringing this up for that reason. Now think of it. When Paul said in verse 11, I've learned whatsoever state I am to be content. Think about that. As I said, he's in prison. And to him, when the Lord was with him, that prison, that stone floor, was a soft bed. You remember old Jacob took the stones for his pillar? I preached the message. The pillar is my pillar. Country way of saying pillow. Pillar. The pillow, the stone that he laid his head on and rested ended up being a pillar, or that is, the altar upon which he offered a sacrifice. And the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And the stone we rest on, that's another message. But the stone we rest on is Christ himself. If he's not with us, and that's when the Lord appeared to him. He said, Bethel, this is Bethel, God's house. I didn't know it. God was with me. And that stone was just a resting place. Listen to John Newton. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, Save a Wretch Like Me. How tedious and tasteless the hours when the Lord Jesus, no longer I see. Sweet prospects, sweet birds, and sweet flowers have all lost their sweetness to me. The midsummer sun shines but dim. The fields strive in vain to look gay. But when I'm happy in him, December's as pleasant as May. Listen to this. Content with beholding his face, my all to his pleasure or his will resigned. No changes of season or place would make any change in my mind. While blessed with a sense of his love, a palace, a toy would appear. And prisons would palaces prove if the Lord Jesus would dwell with me there. Paul found that out, didn't he? I'm content, he said. All right, look at this. Look at verse 12. He said, I know how to be abased. I know how to be abound. Everywhere, in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry. See, he sat with princes and notable people and with beggars. And he could do with or do without. Didn't matter. Didn't our Lord say that only two things, we only need two things? Remember? Food and what? Raiment. Therewith, he said, be content. If your belly is full, even if it's not. Our Lord didn't. He went to bed quite often with an empty stomach. Because God was not his belly. He didn't sit down to eat and drink and rise up to play. He rose up long before day to pray, not play. Was he content? Oh my. What was he facing? oh Lord, let me learn this. He said, I've learned how to abound to suffer need. I, verse 13, can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. What a verse. You like that verse, John Sr.? He always tells me that's one of his favorite. I'm afraid, though, that we really don't believe this. I don't. Too often I think sin is going to get the best of me. Satan has got me. Self, the world, is going to overcome me. And all of this, and what I'm saying by my unbelief, is it's all more powerful than my Lord. Our Lord said, sin shall not have dominion over you. Didn't it? I put it in the bulletin. Someone else had it first. You may remember, the subject was about this eagle that came down, swooped down and grabbed this badger and took off with it. And the badger latched hold of that eagle's breast. The eagle had hold of it. And the badger had hold of it. And the badger was sucking the life out of that eagle. And finally that eagle fell to the ground and died. And the lesson was, one sin, and this is true, one sin held on to, embraced, held on, may be the death of us. It'll certainly be the death of our spiritual life. It'll suck the spiritual life out of us. You know that so. Paul, David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will hear me. It was a good article, and it was repeated by many. One preacher said this, you give people no hope with that. That is, one sin is going to be your undoing. No. Men give people no hope when they say, you have no hope against those sins. You have no hope against sin. That's no hope. You have no hope to fight it. You have no hope to mortify it. You have no hope to not be overcome with it. You might as well just go ahead. That's no hope. I need hope that sin's not going to have dominion over me. I need hope that there is a way to mortify these members. Our Lord said so. Paul said, I can do all things. Now, I know religion loves this verse. Religion loves this verse. I hear you hear them. I can do all things. You know what they're saying? I can do all things. And they brag about it. I did this. I did that. And what I don't do, they brag about what they don't do. I quit this. I quit that. What's wrong with you? Aren't you as strong as me? I can do all things. He's trying to say that. No, the emphasis is through Christ, which strengthens them. You see, without Him, we can do what? Nothing. But with Him, by Him, through Him, looking to Him, pleading with Him, calling on Him, looking to Him, listening to Him, all that. Now that's hoping. I can't mortify one sin. Scripture says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections thereof. I want to know what that means. Well, Paul said, one time Paul said, I keep my body in subjection. Remember that? Now you know he's not saying, I do this. He said, through Christ. He said, the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's not only looking to Him, but the same faith which Christ lived by. Faith of. He lived by faith. Our Lord, as a man, had to look to His Father for all of His needs. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Oh, my. I want to know something about that, don't you? I may have several more years to live. What's my hope in fighting this battle, in this struggle? Not to give up. It's to look to Him. Call upon Him. And let me remind you, our Lord, Paul just said, the things you've seen and heard in me. Didn't it? If you be willing and what? Obedient. You eat the good of the land. Our Lord said, if you know these things, after He washed their feet and gave them an example. What did He say? If you know these things, happy are you if you... That's my problem. Is anybody? That's my problem. Disobedient. Well, I need to listen to Him. No. I need to do what He said. He's not bringing us under law as a way to earn heaven. We all fail. He's just saying, do what I say, and it'll go well with you. Maybe this, I started to say earlier, this is not a how-to message, but it's a who to look to. But maybe it is a how-to. We need to look to, call upon the Lord, how to resist, how to fight, how you can do all things. Number one, look to the Lord, call upon the Lord. Don't take a step without Him, because you'll fall, you'll stumble. Look to the Lord. You won't overcome sin, you'll be overcome by it. You can't overcome one temptation. Not one person in here, start with me, can resist one temptation if left to ourselves. Ask Simon Peter. Ask David, the strongest man, one of the strongest men ever lived. One temptation. One idle day. Sitting on his roof. And he never got over it. Now who am I? Who are you? Without Him, we can do nothing. But by Him, with Him, through Him, looking to Him, you can overcome the strongest temptation. People have. And listen to. Look to and listen to. Do what He said. All right? I can do all things. Look at verse 14. He says, Notwithstanding, you have done well. You've well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Oh my. We started late, didn't we? Yeah, we did. You've done well, he said. You communicated with my affliction. And you Philippians know also in the beginning of the gospel, verse 15, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. They looked to his needs. They sent Epaphroditus. And even when he was in Thessalonica, you remember the Lord raised up a church there with the people at Philippi. Lydia, I believe Lydia was behind it. I could give you so many examples of Lydians. Now, one is on my mind right now. Not in here right now, but my, how that woman is done for the church. Paul said, you sent once and again my necessity, verse 16. But I'm not saying this, verse 17, that I desire a gift, but I do desire fruit, that you may abound to your account. And another place Paul said, to the Corinthians it was. He wrote a great deal about giving to the Corinthians. Why? Because apparently they weren't doing it. And they had all kinds of troubles because of it. It was a very worldly church, full of trouble. And they didn't learn this. And Paul wrote a lot about it, about giving to them. But Philippi was so bountiful. Verse 18, he said, I have all and abound. I'm full. I received of Epaphroditus the things sent from you. He says, an odor of a sweet smell. A sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. The Lord said, this is what Paul wrote in to the Corinthians. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. He loveth. Well-pleasing to God. One time I observed a young lady, young girl. She was given some money for her birthday. We had a birthday party for her. We gave her a good bit of money. All right. And then she was out. We were out shopping with them later on. She had all that money. I'll spend it everywhere. Her little sister was with me. You know what she did? I saw this. I saw her do this. She took half of her money and gave it to her little sister. She didn't see me see that. That thrilled me. You know what I did? I gave it back to her. With interest. With a little bit more. I said, I saw that. Oh, with such things, God is well pleased. In the Lord's parable of the talents, those who received talents, one received 10, 5, 1. He commended those that had done with their talents. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. And over in Hebrews 6, he says, God is not unrighteous. He is righteous. He's not unrighteous to forget. I don't want to misquote it. Here it is. It says, He's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you've showed toward His name. And you've ministered to the saints and do minister. God, no, it's a sweet smelling savor to Him. Whatever you, even a cup of cold water. A lady did something for Mindy, very generous to her one time years ago. And Mindy was thanking her and thanked. She said, it's just a cup of water. Yeah, but it'll receive a disciple's reward. But it will. And he said into the Hebrews, we desire that every one of you show the same diligence. That's what this is about. Because, verse 19, because my God shall supply all your need, not want, although it pretty much gives us what we wanted. But He will supply all that we need. We don't need to worry about needs. He feeds the sparrow. He clothes the lily. Are you not worth much more? He'll supply all your need according to His riches. Now, have you ever noticed how this is worded? His riches in, it doesn't say grace. It says glory. You ever misquoted that? It's His riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Because what are true riches? What is it we really need? One thing is needful. We need to behold His face. The light. We need the light. We need the gospel, which is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And my God shall supply it. That's what you need. You're going to get it. And be multiplied to you. You're going to see His glory. Because this stuff, whatever it is, it goes in, goes out the drain. And whatever it is, thieves and rust and moths corrupt it, and we get upset. And we came in this life naked. It's certain. We can take nothing with us. We're going to go out naked. And one thing needful. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches. Where is it? In the glorious Son of His love, Lord Jesus Christ. Okay.